release the children to their classes. And as they go, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing upon these children. Open their hearts to know your love for them and increase their faith and bless their teachers this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Now I'm going to ask you to please pray with me. Lord Jesus, take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we cannot be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, guide us in this time. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. This morning is extraordinary, as we have before us both Pentecost, celebrating the release of the Holy Spirit, and baptism. Today we're going to discuss the Holy Spirit and who he is and what his release means for us. And we're going to discuss how he, the Holy Spirit, relates to baptism. So, of course, I had to go to Wikipedia and Oxford Dictionaries, because I believe many of us have a misunderstanding of what happened on Pentecost. So Wikipedia and Oxford Dictionary say it's the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, and other sites talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I tend to disagree with the words that are chosen there. I prefer to look at Pentecost as the release of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, being released to indwell, to live in, and to fill God's people. So why do I disagree with the other terminology? Well, I like to avoid any sense of arrival, because arrival suggests that the Holy Spirit wasn't there and then he had to arrive, or that he had to show up. But scripturally, that's not accurate. And we're going to walk through multiple scriptures this morning. So buckle your seatbelts. They're going to appear on the screen. And take a look at the Holy Spirit, who was, who is, and who continues to be. Now that may sound familiar, because there are two scriptures similar to that. One refers to God the Father from Revelation 1:8, where God declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who was and is to come, the Almighty." Then later in Revelation, Jesus uses similar words, declaring this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So using those prayers this morning, we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit, who was, who is, and who continues to be. Pentecost, as I said, commemorates the release of the Holy Spirit to all people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is his release, not his arrival. He was, he is, and he continues to be. Prior to Pentecost, when you look at scriptures, the Holy Spirit was present. He was among men. He was on earth. He was here. He was and he is before creation, during creation, from the beginning until now. In the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2, we read this: "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Holy Spirit was there. When I looked in the back of my Bible, many Bibles have a concordance, and you look up Spirit, and I'm looking just at the ones with capital S, meaning God's Spirit or the Holy Spirit. There are more than 25 mentions of God's Spirit through Hebrew scriptures, through the Old Testament. He was there. He blessed individuals. He occasionally filled individuals for a season or for a task. He was with God's people. The prophet Haggai said this in Haggai 2, verses 4 and 5. "Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my Spirit remains in your midst. Fear not." The Holy Spirit was with them. Now, looking forward a little bit in history, take a look at The angel Gabriel's revelation to Mary. He had just announced that Mary was going to give birth to a son. And she was saying, kind of impossible, shining guy, because I'm a virgin. And Gabriel said this in Luke 1, verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit was there. Then, fast forward a little bit more to Jesus' baptism, the initiation of his ministry, where the Holy Spirit takes up residence in Jesus Christ, God the Son, and God the Spirit united together. Mark 1 records it this way in verses 9 through 10. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. This is recorded, the Spirit descending upon Jesus, recorded in all four Gospels. It was crucial to those penning Holy Scriptures that we know that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. And then Luke records the next occurrence this way in Luke 4. So right after his baptism, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. From that day on, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, God's power in him. From that day on, the Holy Spirit in Jesus was with the apostles, was with the crowds, all those surrounding Jesus. The Holy Spirit was there. He was in Jesus, but he was not yet in God's people. But then when we look back at Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, especially the prophets, we see that it is promised, it was promised hundreds of years before Jesus, that the Spirit would be released to God's people. We read one of those passages this morning in Joel 2. Just taking a look at verse 28. Where Joel prophesied, again, about 200 to 300 years before Jesus, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. The Holy Spirit being poured out on God's people. Note, there's children included there, and we're going to address that a little later when I touch on the topic of infant baptism. The Holy Spirit, not just on God's people, but also on the children. Another prophet, Isaiah, declared this, again, hundreds of years before Jesus. Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants." The Holy Spirit's release that happened on Pentecost was prophesied. It was expected. The Holy Spirit was, the Holy Spirit is with them. And he was promised to be released. Jesus himself promising the Spirit's release in a couple of passages. One of them we read this morning from John 14. And I'm just going to take a look at verses 15 through 17, where Jesus said this to those listening, his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I want you to put yourself, if you're a follower of Jesus, put yourself at Jesus' feet while he speaks to you. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." And the passage continues where Jesus says, "You know him, you know the Holy Spirit, because he dwells with you, and he will be in you." There's the promise. The Holy Spirit is with them, and he will be in them. And then at the end of Luke's gospel, Luke 24, 49, this is after Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected from the grave affirming that he was God the Son, the Messiah, and the Savior. And Jesus says this to his disciples, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." And echoing these words, Luke, the same author who also wrote Acts, said this in Acts 1, chapter 8. This is Jesus again speaking, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And there we have the purpose of the Holy Spirit to God's people. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses," Jesus declares. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower, to fill Jesus' followers with power so that they will bear witness to who Jesus is to the world. The Spirit's power will shine through those who put their faith in Jesus. That we will reflect Jesus, that this is all about Him and not about us. His power flowing through us. And Jesus earlier in John's gospel referred to that future release of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. I love this short passage. So it's a little bit before Jesus' crucifixion. And John records on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's what Jesus said. Now, John adds this clarification to that. Now, this Jesus said about the Spirit. Rivers of living water will flow out of those who put their faith in Jesus. John says this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. As we are his witnesses, this is what God does through us. His living water fills us and flows through us to a parched and weary and dying world. We are his witnesses. Today, we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost literally meaning 50 days. 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. On that day, the entire gathering of Jesus' followers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Acts chapter 2 in a portion of our reading. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And previously in Acts 1, it said about 120 of them. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was released and filled them. And from this day forward, all those with faith in Jesus Christ are filled with God's Spirit. And thereby will fulfill John 7:38. With faith in Jesus Christ, we're filled with God's Spirit, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. This is true of every one of you who've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Today is not just about baptism and the baptismal families. You each sit here. There are very few things I can guarantee, but we're each going to die at some point. We're each going to stand before God. And you each who've put your faith in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, you each are filled with the Holy Spirit. You each are filled with His living water, which will flow through you. Now, God is God, and He keeps His promises. He was, and He is to come. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And as we've discussed, the Holy Spirit was, the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit continues to be filling each of us with faith in Jesus Christ. So I ask you a question as you examine your life. Do you see any water, living water, flowing from your life? Are there large volumes? Do you see fluid? Do you see a trickle? In John 15, Jesus declared, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides, whoever remains connected with me and I in him, he it is that it will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If as you examine your life, if you don't see living water, it's not because the Holy Spirit hasn't indwelt you. If you've put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's there, but it may be because you've disconnected yourself from the vine. If we do not abide, remain connected to the vine, we will not bear fruit. And look at the end of that passage. Like a branch, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. You will not bear fruit if you're not connected to Jesus Christ. You will spiritually wither away. Apart from Jesus, you are dry, withered, and spiritually dead. There is no life apart from Jesus. So if you feel dry, it's not because His Holy Spirit and His living water are not in you. It's because you've detached from Jesus the vine. And I pray that any of you who feel dry, any of you who don't see that water, I pray today you will renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. As we walk through the baptismal vows together, this will be a day where you remember your faith in Jesus Christ, where you remember that God's Holy Spirit lives in you, and you will reaffirm those baptismal vows as we walk through the service together, that you will leave refreshed by the Holy Spirit and refilled with His water. So I told you we were going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to take a brief look at baptism. Baptism was commanded by Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus' final words to His disciples, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Make disciples and baptize them. Baptism is given by Jesus as the new sign of God's covenant with His people. The covenant mark established by Jesus Himself, baptism. Now recall the former covenantal mark, the Jewish covenantal mark, which is circumcision. That was done on the male child when he was 8 days old, and from that point, he was marked as a member of the covenant community. And in the same way, baptism now marks those who put their faith in Jesus. It's a sign commanded by Jesus, which all believers are commanded to participate in. Now, we have little children today being baptized by their parents, Lena, Hannah, and Corbin. And later, we will have other children. But in this service, it's Lena, Hannah, and Corbin. They're being baptized by their parents, being marked as members of God's people, and this is good, and this is right, and this is biblical. Now, obviously, this baptism is not a reflection of their faith. Corbin, perhaps, she's a little older, but the little ones, this is a reflection of the faith of their family, of their parents, and in many cases, of the extended family around these children. It's their commitment to raise their child in the faith, with faith in Jesus Christ as God the Son and Savior. Now, just as Jewish children were members of God's covenantal people before they were able to own their faith, so it is with Christian children. They're marked as Christ's own forever in baptism. Just as Jewish children make a declaration of their own faith in the midst of their bat mitzvah and bar mitzvahs, they own their faith. So these children one day will get to make their own declarations of their faith. Own their own faith sometime in the future. If they're Anglican, it'll be through confirmation. It may be through standing before their church body at that point, wherever they are, and affirming, this is my faith. Today, these children in baptism will be marked as a member of God's people, as Christ's own forever. So you parents and godparents and families around these children, you're making a vow and you're making a commitment before God to choose God's way for your life and to raise your children in that way, to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is good, this is right, and this is biblical. Now, at the later service, we're going to have adults and adolescents participating in baptism, choosing to declare their faith in Jesus before this, their spiritual family, before Church of the Redeemer. And they'll be marked as in baptism as Christ's own forever. Today's their acknowledgement that they are not their own, that their life is not their own, that they're choosing to trust and follow the Good Shepherd, to live a life that honors him, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses to the world. Now, what of the rest of you? Well, you all have a role to play this morning. You all have a role to play. You all have an opportunity to participate. You get to witness these baptisms, and in our Anglican baptismal service, you will have the opportunity to commit to do all in your power to support these families and these children in their life in Christ. But today I want to challenge you, each of you, to renew your baptismal vows before Jesus. Not just to be a bystander, but to participate. Today I pray will be a day not just these few, but many, the majority of you, will renew your faith in Jesus Christ, will renew your baptismal vows, rededicate your life to following Jesus, that you will reconnect yourself to the true vine, the source of fruit and of living water, and that you'll leave today with a refreshing of God's Spirit in you and his living water through you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence among us, and I pray that you will convict our hearts, that you will turn us back towards you, and that you will refresh us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.